know, Andy and Red were in prison together, and while they were in prison, they had an if so, hope so kind of maybe someday type of thing that we all have sometimes. But the more they hoped, the more real it became, and they got free. By hook or crook, they got free. But hope, you know, when I was first saved, I was a young man, and in fact, the night I got born again, for the next 3 days and nights, I did nothing but read. I had this Gideon's New Testament. I had to figure out what happened to me. Something happened to me. I had this peace I couldn't understand. There was, it wasn't like this lightning bolt feeling, but it was this something. It was a something. It's just a something. And I read the entire New Testament in 3 days. It was King James. I had no idea what I was reading. But by the time I got done with Revelation, I said, this is not the same Jesus they taught me about in Sunday school. This one's got power. You know, he doesn't sit around and draw circles. He drew a circle around me, and I felt like I was in the center. And here's what I wanted. Don't give me that hope stuff or any of that weak little love talk. I want faith. Boy, was that a mistake. I want faith. I went everywhere, especially after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I went everywhere I could to try to get some more faith and to get my power gifts going, to get, you know, it wasn't really working, because the thing is, hope depends on other things. It doesn't work alone. It says in Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. I wanted trees to come up by the roots. I wanted mountains to move. The thing is, if you can't see it in your spirit first, if you don't develop hope in your life and engage the imagination that God gave you, that picture in your heart that God gives you in order to develop your hope, your faith has no platform to work, because faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Without hope, your faith won't work. Without love, your faith won't work. Amen. They work together. And in fact, faith doesn't work just by hope and love. It works by patience. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise of God. And you know, you need hope to sustain your patience too. So it all works together. It's like the universe. It just keeps on expanding. And it's all so intertwined. And I mean, it's a tangle. But you need to concentrate on some things, on some principles here that you need to know that you have working on the inside of you. Because if you don't know you have these things working on the inside of you, you're not going to avail yourself to the benefits of those things. Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies. If you had a dream, a desire, a vision, when 30 years ago when you were first born again, I want you to know something. That didn't die. It's still just as alive as it was when it was birthed in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It's still there. It's still alive. Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. You know, every reality begins with a hope, with a desire, with an image that expands our imagination and produces a vision that when it's followed becomes a reality. Hope sees. Faith speaks. What does faith speak? God's word. But faith speaks what hope sees. Unless you have an eye of hope inside of you, faith doesn't speak. Oh, it can speak presumptuously, but it's not speaking real faith. And that's where people get in trouble. Well, I spoke that and they said I could have what I said, and it just doesn't work for me. Oh, yeah, it just did. Well, I don't know. I go down there and everybody gets healed but me. It doesn't work for me. Oh, yeah, it just did. Everybody got healed but you. But if you see yourself in that possibility turning into probability, turning into actuality, you're gonna see there is a process to this. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and you have exactly what you say. You're the sum of your talking yesterday. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark, oh, I don't have to go too far away from where I was. I was in Mark 4. Thank you, Red. Pleasure. I love that man. Oops, Mark, well, we got to go through this first. Because you know what? Anytime you ever want to hear the voice of the Lord, anytime you want really good counsel, all you got to do is open up the word, put it in front of your eyes, and let it start talking to you. So let's confess this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, when the word takes root in your heart, that's what he wants. That's what pleases him so much, when you just take him at his word. Plant it in your heart, let it grow. It's incorruptible. It will bring forth, it will reproduce after its own kind according to the perfect law of Genesis. Isn't that wonderful to know that every time you open up this word, it's starting to reproduce in you? It starts opening your eyes, the eyes of your hope. This is a good thing. So in verse 25, Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman, who's this? This is any woman. Say, this could be me, or any man for that matter, because in him there is neither male nor female. You know, so if you got never mind. I'm not going to go there. I'll take a beating. But a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and was nothing bettered, this is King James, but rather grew worse. Some things never change. You know, got to go. How many doctors say, well, you know, there's nothing we can do for you. And then you go to the next doctor, nothing you can do for you. Now, that situation is unique, and we can't help you. I know somebody who can. She spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she heard of Jesus. That's a big phrase. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt something. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that's anointing, had gone out of him, turned about in the press or in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? That's an interesting statement. Did Jesus initiate this miracle? Who initiated this miracle? The woman. She came and took it. And you know the lights didn't go out in heaven because of that? Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you saying, who touched me? I mean, who could tell? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that it was her, knowing what was done in her. This is two times. It says she felt it and she knew it. What was done, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, what right do you have to come and just take some? Did he say that?
No.
He probably was grinning, that warm smile. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. When she heard of Jesus, says in 27, when she heard of Jesus, hope arose in her heart. When she heard of Jesus, what is it that hearing about Jesus does all of a sudden changes people and they drop the reality? They start identifying with different things and all of a sudden they can see themselves doing something that they couldn't, seeing themselves as they never could before. Did she ever see? 12 years. Every time she looked at her body, every time she thought of her body, every time she spoke to someone, she couldn't speak. She had to socially distance. According to Leviticus, she couldn't be out in public. Otherwise, she would be stoned. She was taking a huge risk here. But when hope springs up in your heart, you're not afraid of risk. You begin to see yourself. 12 years, all she could do is identify with herself as somebody who was sick, somebody who had this plague, something was wrong, something that was condemned in the law, that she had this and she couldn't go out in public, she couldn't do it. It was shame. It was degrading. 12 years, that's all she could see. Some people quit after 12 days or 12 months. She was going this way for 12 years, but when she heard about Jesus, and there was a pretty good amount of time from the time she heard about Jesus to the time she snuck up and grabbed her healing, she said, if I can touch but his garment, I'll be whole. She heard of the miracles. Did you hear about Jesus and what he did? Did you hear about the lepers that he cleansed? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about all of this? And they start talking about it, and she's starting hearing. I remember when Lori said she was upstairs, and she said, she on 9/11, she said a plane went into the World Trade Center. I said, no, it didn't. They can't do that. They got all kinds of radar that can warn them. I didn't know. But see, what happens is my senses couldn't accept that fact. They had been trained another whole way. And then when I turned on the TV and saw it, I said, wow, that wasn't just a little, you know, Cessna or a little propeller plane. I mean, and you look at that gaping hole with the smoke coming out, I'm going, wow, now I'm getting more and more and more sensitized to it. And I said, something is wrong here. Then when the other one slammed in, we both knew. We're under attack. But that's the way it is. When we are dull in our senses, when we're not having our eyes in front of this all the time, Jesus could be speaking things to us that we miss. But if we're in tune with this, if we really desire, have a desire in our heart to be free from an addiction, to be free from bad health, to be free from a poor diet, to be free from all of these things that plague everybody else. When we really have that desire, it'll convert something in our heart and we'll stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to go where I haven't been able to go before. I'm going to do what I haven't been able to do before. And you start seeing yourself differently. You have new eyes. Those are the eyes of hope. The eye of hope. All of a sudden, the impossibilities and the improbabilities become possibilities. And then later on, they become probabilities. And then a little later on, the table is set. Now faith can come in and take what it needs. And then the probability is actuality. Is that good? Can you see that? You see that process? What does she hear? When she heard about Jesus. We've got to know all about Jesus. We can't just know that he lived once a long time ago and he rose from the dead and then he went away and left us on our own. That's not the way it happens. No, he's engaged. He's locked in with you. He knows what you need. He's standing in the fire with you. He's holding back the sea. He's the fourth man in the flaming fire. They turn that thing up seven times. You ever feel like you're in a situation that's seven times hotter than you've ever been before? You're defenseless. You're wrapped up in ropes and thrown into the thing. There is another in the fire standing next to me. Impossibilities become possibilities. Improbabilities become probabilities. And then it's a reality. She began to imagine the possibility of being well again. What happened? Her imagination started to swell. The picture started to change. The image that had been grinding in her for 12 years of herself as sick started to change, that her entire future, her health, everything could change like that if I could just get near enough. Now she's pushing through the crowd. Now you know what's happening? Hope, that overwhelming desire to be healed, took action. And that's when faith came out and just took it and said, it's mine. You know, sometimes you have to go to Jesus and just take it. This is what Jesus meant in John 15:7, when he said, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will. And that word ask means to call forth. You'll call forth what you will, and it will be done to you. This is exactly what he meant. This is exactly what she did. She went, and she took it. She called forth what she wanted, and she got it. Was she disappointed? Will you be disappointed? Can you see her eyes are opening up? Can you see your eyes opening up to what you really need? What is that one sin in your life that's just driving you? Is it fear? Is it because fear has torment? Is it laziness? Oh, that's a sin. You read Proverbs. You don't want to be lazy. You want to be diligent. There's promises for the diligent, and there's also promises for the lazy. You don't want those. Jesus didn't initiate this miracle. She did. Sometimes you've got to initiate the miracle. In fact, all the time. Hope, excuse me, hope sees. Faith speaks. What does faith speak? Faith speaks what hope sees. If you don't see it in your hoper, if you don't see it in your desirer, if you don't see it in your image, imagination, you're not going to have it. Because that's what you need in place. That's what you need expanding in your life, to take your eyes off of your situation and put it on this word. And let that word draw a new picture. This is a pen of a ready writer, ready to rewrite your story, ready to transform your story into his plan for your life. You know, when Adam was created, he was created on the sixth day. We went into this last week a little bit. But everything was prepared from the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. Everything was already put right in place and prepared for him. God had a plan for him. He had a vocation. He had a purpose. Everything was set for him. Then when he was created, boom, it was there for him. When you came into this earth, guess what? God had a plan for you. It was already in place. Everything was in place. A perfect plan for him and a purpose for your life was already there. When you were born again, that's when that plan and purpose started to illuminate your eyes and change your thinking. It started to change the way you saw yourself. You didn't see yourself as alienated from God any longer. You had a peace that was constantly pulling your mind to converting it over into the fact that you have been made accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in Christ. There's a peace that came in and stopped that storm that was going on in your head. Are you getting anything out of this morning? Hope in God that is acted upon gives faith an avenue to take what God has provided. Boy, that's rich. That's rich. You know, people, I've seen this thing perverted where people have prayer shawls and they get, just touch this prayer shawl and you'll be healed. You know, or they get magic charms and stuff and they, you know, like this whole thing, like aprons and everything. And all that stuff is real in the Bible. But it's not a lucky charm. It's not a magic charm. This thing isn't magic beans. It's Jack and the Beanstalk stuff. No, this is real, and it is in seed form. And all that stuff is just a counterfeit of what it really is real. This is not a make-believe thing. This is the real thing. Religious garbage and that stuff. Magic powers. But what did Jesus say? He said, abide in me, and my words abide in you. You call forth what you will, and it will be done to you without any question. I don't know about you, but if I needed something right now, I'd start listening to that. Say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done for you. If you abide in my word, let his word take effect, take root in your life. Let it start reproducing in you after its own kind until that image is formed in you. Paul prayed that for the Galatians. He said, I travail in Christ till Christ be formed in you again. You know, you can do this again and again and again, and whatever your need is, you can get Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, forming in you to get exactly what you want. I don't know about you, but that just came hot off the wire. That was not in my notes. So you need to take that into consideration. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 1. If that's unfamiliar territory to you, you need to go there often. Because Ephesians is one of the greatest books on the deepest revelation of the church, who we are, what our purpose is. And in verse 18, this is a prayer that Paul was praying. He says, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers, praying for you that you would receive the, God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Then in verse 18 it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the, listen to this, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the, this is resurrection power, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. That's a mouthful. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. You are in his body. You're no longer in Adam. You are in Christ and you are in his body. Where is his body? Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Think of that. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. I want us to focus in on verse 18. Again, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word enlightened is the word photizo. Photizo is where we get photograph or photo from. But it means to shine, brighten up. We're going to just take a little school class here. Brighten, and then it'll kick in, and we'll get the revelation of this, and it'll be good. It means to shine, brighten up, to make see. That's what enlightened means. It means to shine. It's what Jesus was talking about. Let your light so shine before men. that the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, what are the eyes of your understanding? Well, the word understanding is really kind of cool too. It's dianoia. Let me say that again. Dianoia. It's a compound word. Noia is mind or intellect, and not brain, mind. It's referring to that which operates through the brain. And then dia is a prefix that causes us to know that he's talking about the very center, diameter. It's like a go right through a circle, right into the heart. Dia, right into the center of the mind, the intellect, and the understanding. You know, the brain doesn't remember the brain. The brain is just a physical organ that the mind operates through, and the mind never grows old. Abraham, remember when the rich man in hell looked over to Abraham, and he still had his mind intact and his memory, and he remembered all the people on earth, his brothers that he wanted delivered from this awful place he was in. It's a terrible thing. Terrible to remember all the chances that you had to receive the Lord, and your mind is still there. It's like, wow, that's not good. Jesus wants to deliver us from all that. So, dianoia, this is through the center and implies the exercise of the imagination, mind, and understanding, and it points to the inner workings and faculties of the mind in its very depths, center, and core of our imaginations. God gave you an imagination for a reason, for a purpose. And you know what? In your imagination, it's part of your eternal man, and it never stops. It'll go bigger and bigger and bigger because that imagination has to reflect who God is, who is eternal. This is another whole teaching. Maybe I'll do a teaching on that sometime, but imagination is a powerful tool in your arsenal that can establish that hope, that can give faith a platform to work and to operate and to take the things that God put in that covenant and put to work in your life so you can do his work. Just like Adam had the partner of the blessing working for him, this will work for you the same way. Your imagination. It's powerful stuff. This is dynamite! Like Jimmy J. Walker used to say, dynamite! Don't you love that guy? Oh, this is a deep, workable knowledge of our hope, our inheritance, and the resurrection power of God. There's three things here that he wants to open our eyes to. What is the hope of his calling? This is your calling in life. He wants you to understand the hope of your calling. Your calling is your purpose. It's what was planned for you when God created you, formed you into your mother's womb. And he had that plan and purpose already for you. In fact, he had it before he created Adam. He created a plan for you. Remember that song, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind? What a beautiful, beautiful thought and revelation in that too. Having hope is one thing, but when your eyes open to that hope and illuminated into that hope, you begin to see where you haven't been able to see before. And you can start imagining what you've never been able to imagine before. And here's the thing. Once your eyes open to it, you realize it's been there all the time. That's the way it was with me. How about you? It's like that little picture that Lori brings up all the time. It's got all those little colors on it. But if you look at it long enough, it used to be in the paper, and you blur your eyes out and you pull it away, and all of a sudden it's a 3D image. It's been there all the time. But you couldn't see it. Had to be illuminated. You had to hit it in the right area. This is harnessing your imagination with truth. The fact is, this word, same word, dianoia, in Luke chapter 1, verse 51, it's translated in the King James Bible as imagination. Also in the New King James Version, too, as imagination. Some of it interpreted as attitude or thought, but the proper is imagination because you can't stop it. Fill it with the right things. We talked about this in men's fellowship yesterday, that your soul is like a carburetor. You know, a carburetor sucks air, and it has the perfect mixture of air and fuel, and it feeds that into the combustion engine, right? But let's say you run out of fuel. It'll keep sucking air until the thing stops. It doesn't have any fuel. That's the way your soul is. And if you don't feed it with the Word of God, it has no fuel and it's just air. Then it'll start to tap in and start to pervert your imagination and form everything to what your flesh wants. It'll just keep on pulling it all in. So what you need to do is fill up that fuel tank with the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit has something to bring to reality and pop into existence for you and fill your imagination with truth that'll liberate you rather than your flesh that will put you into bondage. Stay full of the Word. Isn't that good? Circular diameter going through. This is what the devil, and I heard this years ago, but in Spanish, diablos. Diabolos. Dia, diameter, get to the center of, and that ball that he throws, it's a bolos, and he throws it and he hurls it until he gets through to the center. What the Holy Ghost does is go, he deflects all of that. And he teaches you and he reveals truth to you so that you can stand and say, shoot your best shot. It's coming right back at you with a sword that you don't want to face. Amen. Amen. Oh, he's defeated. To know, no, this is not just guess game here. This is to know what is the hope of his calling, your calling in life. To know your inheritance that you have as a child of God. And to know the exceeding greatness of your power. Greater than any temptation. Greater than anything else that's going on in the world. Any bad news? I got good news. Because no matter what's going on out there, I got better news because I got the greater one. And the greater than what? It doesn't matter. It's greater. He's greater. Three things, the hope of your calling. He wants to reveal that to you. He wants to get that to you. It doesn't come by education. It doesn't come because you go to the right school. It doesn't because you're in the right culture. And it comes to anybody who will sit still long enough to have God reveal it to them. Put their eyes on this word and say, this is what I've called you to. This is yours. I prepared it just for you. Here, what's that? Brown paper packages with string. These are a few of my favorite things. Get excited about the Word of God. God has such good things for you. Just get excited about it. Let the Word motivate you instead of everything else that's been motivating you. You're a new creature with a new life. You're in a new kingdom. It doesn't work the same way it did. There's a new sheriff in town. And he's kind, and he's good, and he's excited about you. Amen. To know these three things, the hope that he's called you to, your inheritance, the riches of the glory of that inheritance. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's yours. The testator has already died. The will has been released. It's yours. And the exceeding greatness of his power. Some of that power, the greatness of that power is the greatness of his grace that empowers you. His grace is not insufficient. Let that sink in. That you may know. This isn't the if so, hope so type of thing. This isn't wishing. This is knowing. There's a difference between Bible hope and human hope. Human hope is just wishing. Oh, I wish that would happen. And the world calls that hope. But it's not hope. That's wishing. It doesn't come by wishing. Hope is a spiritual force. And it works out of your spirit. And with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession. If you could never see yourself saved, you would have never got saved. You would have never had the faith to be saved. But when you heard about Jesus, when you heard about Jesus, you started seeing yourself different. You started seeing yourself as somebody is actually loved by God. Say that. I am loved by God. He's my dad. And I'm his child. This is rich. Let's see. We can go to the next page here now, too. Everything is ready for you. This is what God wants you to know. You are privileged and invited and authorized to know these things. Say that. I am authorized, privileged to know the hope of my calling, my inheritance, and the richness of his power. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is in you. You just need to know it's there. And get it right here. It's right there. Good thing it wasn't a rattlesnake. It had bit me. That's how close. So close it is. You are so empowered. And we're living beneath. Well, I'll back up on that. We have the tendency to live way beneath what he's given us. But here's a lesson of, kind of a warning an awareness that God wants us to have. When Jesus said this, he said, but the heart of this people has waxed gross, and their ears are dull, and their eyes they have closed. Lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and I would be converted, and I'd heal them. Their eyes they have closed. It says in Matthew 13:15. Paul, at the very end of the book of Acts, quoted this scripture. And the book of Acts is supposed to the book of Acts never had an ending to it. It wasn't designed to have an ending to it, because it was designed to be finished by us in the church age until Jesus raptures the church up out of this earth. That's the end of the church age. But during the church age, we are writing. Stephanie is writing the book of Acts. You are all writing the book of Acts. It's you and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the new covenant, all the blessings and promises, the word of God coming alive in your life. You are the author with God of your future. You participate in it. It's not something he'll just do because he's sovereign. Oh, I wish it worked that way. We could just lay down and go to sleep, say, okay, Lord, you just, I'll take two Mercedes, I'll take that. Yeah. You know, it's like, really? There's so much, all that stuff is of the world, and when the fire hits it, it's gone anyways. But we have so many eternal things to look at and to enjoy in here that the eyes of our hope will start turning the way we think, the way we see ourselves, the way we walk, not afraid to get out in the crowd and do stuff. And proclaim the name of Jesus and let others hear the same hope that you have inside of you. God isn't finished with you. He's just beginning. Hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies. I'll be hoping this letter finds you and finds you well. Your friend, Jesus. Paul quoted this scripture that Jesus said at the very end of the book of Acts to lead us into a place where we become very aware and guard ourselves from letting our ears grow dull, from closing our eyes to the truth, to keep at it until. The word of God is the law of liberty, James said. What does that mean? It's you keep doing the word and doing the word and feeding on it and feeding on it and doing it and feeding it and feeding it until it becomes a part of you and it liberates you. It's the law of liberty. The word of God is the law of liberty. Keep doing it and doing it and doing it until you're free. Yes. Amen? Amen. Are you grieving? Are you sad? Depression is grief. You just got to accept that because I've done the study. And Jesus bore your griefs. When he bore your griefs, he gave you joy. love, peace, patience, endurance, strength, inner strength that you didn't think you had. These are the things we got to wake up to, because love will never fail. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The peace that calms any storm that comes along. All this stuff in you so that you be perfectly and entire, lacking nothing. Hope. Hope. This is real hope. Let's take it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void, that it will accomplish in us that which pleases you. We thank you, Lord, that this word will speak to us throughout the week, that your voice will not be silent, but you have something to work with us now in a way that we can see ourselves as we never saw ourselves before, that we are liberated, that we have a very good person as a God. Lord, let the eyes of this world be liberated and freed and delivered from the eyes that look at you as a mean, austere, demanding God. But they see you as a nice person, a wonderful God who wants to be their Father. We ask, Father, for the eyes of this world to open to the hope that you have given them, that you've called them to, the inheritance that you have already released in the new covenant, and the exceeding greatness of your power that resides in your church, that resides in us individually, to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, to do all the things that Jesus has called us to do. Thank you for your abiding presence, for understand what's going on in our heart, for you to know what it's like to be us. But Lord, let that desire in us to be everything that you are in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.